Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a great show tonight. Emma Mardeline is a PhD, is going to be with us talking about her new book, Out of Your Comfort Zone. Now, when was the last time you did something that really scared you? And when was the last time you stepped out of your comfort zone and really pushed your boundaries to propel you forward in life? Well, if you're stuck in those arenas, we're going to help you tonight. And again, Dr. M is going to be with us, and I'll ask her how to correctly pronounce her last name in a moment. But she's going to be with us, and we're going to be helping you change in this, you know, second week, of February, so that 2019 can be your most outstanding year yet. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through the blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. But the real question truly is, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Men and Money Book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the absolute fullest. Now, my clients say that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living. And again, that's from my website, MoniqueChapman.com. My guest today, Dr. Emma Mardeline, PhD, is a consultant clinical hypnotherapist and founding partner in the Pinnacle Practice. Internationally renowned for her work as an author, researcher, trainer, and practicing clinician in London, Harley Street, and Nottingham, Dr. M has profoundly changed the lives of many. Now, she's also the author of the highly acclaimed book, Mind Body Diabetes Type 1 and Type 2. Now, you can check her out by going to her website, and that is outofyourcomfortzone.uk. Again, that's outofyourcomfortzone.uk. Welcome, Dr. M.
Hello. Great to be here, and thank you for inviting me on the show, Monique.
Oh, I love having you. Now, how do you say your last name?
No, you pronounced that perfectly. That's a really nice way of saying my last name, but I do get called all sorts. It's usually Martin, but Mardeline is just perfect.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to be kind of sure about that. You wrote a great book, Out of Your Comfort Zone, Breaking Beyond Boundaries for a Life Beyond Limits. What caused you to write this particular book? Your first book was about diabetes, and I can understand, you know, that one. But what about this one, Breaking Out of Your Comfort Zone? What was the impetus behind it?
Sure. Well, I think every single day I'm out of my own comfort zone. That's either personally or professionally, because I've had to manage type 1 diabetes myself for over 2 decades, and I work on reversing that condition, which has never really been done before, and it's very misunderstood by a lot of people with the work I do. So it certainly puts me out there, but also working with people in terms of all the problems and challenges that they have, whether that's with mental health, physical health, or just in life in general. I'm always pushing my own boundaries, so I get asked a lot of questions, and particularly at the moment in society, it seems we're besieged with an anxiety epidemic for various lots of reasons. And I think sometimes it's so easy to go on in life just not pushing your boundaries and moseying on because life just sweeps you by. So the book's really about taking people on a personal journey of evolution going forward, a journey of self-discovery, so people can let go of those anxieties, holdbacks and limitations, and also discover what they even are. Some people aren't even aware of particular holdbacks that they have until they ask themselves the pertinent questions of what or who could you be if you actually had no comfort zone or no holdbacks, or what was the last time you actually did something that scared you or you took a risk to really push yourself forward in life. So I wanted to actually provide something that gave all of the answers to that, and the book really starts in a small way and works incrementally to get to the really big changes in life at the end, once people have started to make those small changes and break out of their comfort zone. So that's really the main premise behind the book.
Well, as I shared with you before we began the show, I love in the book how you introduce concepts and information that are in small chunks. So, you know, everybody says, well, I want to change and I want life to be better, but I want it all right now. And that's impossible to have, you know. If I could have made that happen, I would have done a long time ago. We wouldn't be talking today. But you give it the information in small doses, and as one is reading the book and thinking about what they're looking to adjust in their lives, it seems to come a bit easier. But girl, let me tell you, you started out the book with a test, and it's called the Zone Test. So tell us about that test, and then I'm going to tell you my score.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing that. Yeah, it's really central to the book in terms of you can do it at the beginning, even throughout the book, but at the end as well. So it provides a measure of the work you've actually done and shows you how far you've come. So essentially, it's an introspective quiz that asks a series of very specific questions that detects your current comfort zone level and personality. So that's from like a comfy zone to a zone zero, which I'm sure we'll go through what they actually mean, but they are based on the attributes of each personality and thinking type that a particular zone is consistent with. Mm-hmm. So for example, the first zone is a comfy zone, so that's people that tend to stay in the sameness as they go through life. They don't really take those risks or push forward into different avenues where they could, and often people find themselves content in where they are at the moment, so they don't push their boundaries to push out. And often those kind of people can complain about things, or that they're not happy, or, you know, they have certain problems, but at the same time they aren't willing to take those risks and push those boundaries and step out of the comfort zone to actually make those changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So really that's what we're talking about. And then we go on to the exploring zone. That's where people are stepping out of the comfort zone. They're kind of looking around at the moment in terms of what they're interested in, how they can evolve. And then there's a breaking boundary zone that goes higher up, and then all the way through to something we probably all aspire to one way or another, and that's to become a zone zero personality. And that's someone really with no or very little comfort zone. And that's not to say that they don't have problems or they don't have challenges, but they certainly don't fear any challenges coming their way or curveballs coming their way in life. They just deal with them and push themselves forward.
Okay, so could you give me an example of somebody that's in the zero zone, which folks, for scoring purposes in the book, is 101 plus. So could you give us an example? The person I came to, but I really don't know the person, would be Richard Branson, but I really don't know him, so he could, you know, not be in that.
Sure. Well, I was actually going to say Richard Branson. He's a great example. And then you've got people like Warren Buffett, even Donald Trump, dare I say his name?
Don't say his name on my show. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know, I've just lost lots of sales. But it really is people that I've actually studied, and they tend to be very high in their profession, top in business, or world-class athletes. And actually, a lot of the time, people that have healed themselves against the odds, so people that have been given terminal diagnosis and they beat it against the odds, those kind of people that have had challenges in life and they've worked through them to accomplish what they've wanted to, they've come what may, they've achieved their goals and they've gone forward, and they never fear anything that may be thrown their way. Sometimes the kind of people you might see or you might look at and think, gosh, they really do have life first, and you know, they seem to have everything, and that's because the Zone Zero personality knows exactly what they can have and exactly how to get it. And I have actually 25 markers of the Zone Zero personality, which are listed out in the book. So it's there for people to actually see what formulates the success model, really. And then once people get to the end of the book, the whole format is there and exactly how you can achieve the same. So that's why I say the Zone test is really a measure, so to start off, and then if you work fully and take in all the details of the book, you can get to that Zone Zero personality.
Okay.
So tell me your thoughts, Monique.
Well, I'll tell you my score in a moment, but you mentioned, you know, we mentioned Richard Branson, then you said Donald Trump. Is Donald Trump really, I mean, he's a liar. He's not a kind human being. How does he? Sorry, you're saying he's comfortable in his in the shit that he lives in every day? I mean, I don't understand, because I don't see him, even though for whatever reason he got elected to be president of the United States, I don't see him as a good person. I don't see him as kind. I don't even see him as having a soul. So
absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely hear what you're saying there. And I think the personality is irrespective of whether somebody is good or bad, and those attributes. When I say Donald Trump, I say that loosely, and really it's in terms of his actual belief system, because like you say, who'd ever believe that he would actually become president, an entrepreneur becoming a president, certainly in Britain, that would be unheard of. And even in America, I believe it's, you know, who would even think that given what he's actually like, you know, but he said he was going to be president, he believed it, and he's become
it. Okay.
And
so
when you think about the BS in another sense of what you described it
as. Yeah, bullshit.
that he actually comes out with, he absolutely lives and dies by what he says, and he gets what he wants, and it's that getting what he wants that actually formulates part of the Zone Zero. Obviously, we can't say for him, you know, without completely analysing his personality. So, you know, the best Zone Zeros to look at are somebody like Richard Branson, Warren Buffet, and such like top,
okay,
you know, athletes that have overcome things.
Okay, so the great reveal. My score was a 78. I didn't know what that meant, and I went, so I guess I'm in the breakout zone. Not quite at the zero zone, but the breakout zone. And you know what? As when I did that and I read what the breakout zone meant, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm okay with that. I aspire to grow each and every day, but I don't know if I need to reach the zone zero.
Sure, exactly. Well, it's personal and it's subjective for every single person. It's, you know, what you want. You seem very comfortable in your own skin, love what you do, and because you project that, and that comes across brilliantly. So it's, you know, to each and every person of where they want to be. But that's a great, you know, high score of where you are. So if you didn't want to be a Zone Zero, then that's fantastic. I mean, is there anything else you would actually want to achieve in life? So say you're a high achiever already with, you know, everything that you do, and you certainly have all the knowledge there. So it's quite an interesting point, actually, in terms of you know, is there anything else that you would want to achieve or do that would actually put you in that same zero, in your opinion?
Okay. Yeah, well, maybe travel the world, but I'm not quite there yet because I can't take my doggie every place with me, and she travels with me well. So it's very interesting how you do this. Now, in your book, you talk a lot about two separate emotions. You talk about the emotion of love, and you talk about the emotion of fear, and you call them real emotions, which I definitely agree with. But why is it that fear oftentimes seems to be more prevalent in our lives than love?
That's an excellent question. And I think it's because from the moment we're actually born, or even, you know, the point of conception, even if you want to go down that route, we have certain things happen that can be unconsciously or consciously, and they tend to imprint on our minds. And sometimes some of the negative things can actually leave a nasty impression that indents on the mind, and that's really where our fears are born and they come from. So, you know, it really depends on every different person's life in terms of how they evolve or how quickly they enter into the world of self-help and personal evolution. But I think for a lot of people, the world we live in is a very fast-paced life, and there are lots of fears around in terms of background fears, but then we've also got people's personal subjective fears. I mean, on a daily basis, I hear a lot of those, and you hear some nasty stories, so you can see how they manifest fear, and I think that's why it is predominant. But certainly I talk about something that you'll have read called a New Age fear, which is the background fears that a lot of people are developing. And again, as I said, the beginning of our chat, that we're kind of besieged by an anxiety at the moment. A lot of people seem to be feeling it, not necessarily anxious people, just anybody in general, even really confident people. They seem to be feeling this anxiety that seems to be around, almost like a morphogenic field, like an energy in the air. And I think a lot of that is down to, well, certainly social media has its part to play in terms of our lives being so exposed to scrutiny and also comparisons as well. People tend to look at other people's lives and think they're perfect and how well they're doing, which actually isn't always the case. So we tend to get this false reality going on, and that also manifests a lot of fear, I think, and generally too much information about and not enough wisdom to go with it. So, you know, we even have Dr. Google that exacerbates fears, and, you know, 24/7 news all the time, which can be like doomsday every day. You know, so I think there's so much of it about generally that we're actually suggested and is instilled into us, but also what people have subjectively as well in terms of serious, deep-rooted fear that they grow up with, that's imprinted on their minds, that obviously they need to deal with, or we all need to deal with certain issues that arise.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the book you say fear is not the problem, it's what's behind that fear. So how do you discover what's behind the fear? Like, I'll give you one of my crazy little fears, and this is like so stupid, but it's true. I'm afraid of birds, okay? If I see a bird on the street, I'm going the other direction. I do eat chicken, though, but if I, you know, I'm like, birds are not my friend.
I have to get rid of them.
Yeah, well, I don't have anything against them, and, you know, in our area, we have a lot of ravens, and I make sure that the ravens have food to eat, especially when it's raining, so I don't want them to go away. So how do you figure out what's behind that fear, you know, whether it's something physical or just something in your mind?
Sure, well, I always say everything is in the mind, so one person like yourself could fear birds or strongly dislike birds, and another person cannot. So we've all got the same neurology to a degree, but it's what story we tell ourselves inside that actually manifests that as a, as a particular fear. So with yourself, I would say it's a case of looking at the root and what does that actually go back to? When do you first know that you actually had a fear of birds?
Yeah, that was childhood. It came in with this lifetime with this one.
So you don't want me to do a session now?
Oh, no, we don't want to do a session, but we just, I was just trying to figure out for the audience, if they have a certain fear, whether it's something physical or something psychological, how do they truly get to the deep root of that fear so they can release it if they choose?
Sure. Well, if anybody goes and they work through the book, even starting from the zone test, it will help uncover certain issues and fears and why you may have fears. But it asks a series of questions as you actually go through the book that really help you to unravel what would be at the root of the core root, because there's a root behind everything, and that may still be unconscious to you personally, but the questions in the book really help to dig that out and to really reveal what that is and then how to actually rip that out.
Okay. Now, in the book, you also talk about how important it is to be self-aware. How do we truly become self-aware without being self-aggrandizing?
Absolutely. Well, I think it's taking the time to actually realize who we are. And once we rid of those fears, anxieties, and limitations, then we can start to reveal who we really are and actually what we really want in life, so our core blueprint. And that then helps us to become more aware, and then it's about giving ourselves more time to think about these things. And also meditation is a great help with that, because it really relaxes the conscious mind, so it takes all that conscious clutter that's going on and helps you to look deep inside and actually reveal what's going on, and what you want from life, and to understand more about yourself. And also becoming self-aware is about take, for example, doing the zone test will help you become more self-aware, because it will help you realize things that you didn't even know were issues or holding you back. You may not have even realized that you were being held back in life until you ask yourself, what could you be if you let go of all those fears, or who would you really want to be? Because as I say, we can so easily get swept along by life and, forget about actually, who's that person I really wanted to be? Once upon a time, we forget about dreams, goals, ambitions. And this book's about taking you there to uncover that. So even through there's resources to do personality tests, and you can discover, for example, something so simple as discovering if you're introvert or extrovert personality, and if your job is actually mismatching what you are, and that may be a very simple reason as to why you're actually so discontent every day going into work. And then you might actually think, well, when I was younger, actually I wanted to be X, Y, and Z career, and I completely went off track with that. And then you can put yourself where you need to be, and that's really the self-awareness and becoming more intuitive. And there's ways to help with that that are all put out in the book as well. So there's quite a lot of components to it, but really the main thing is being able to have that time to engage in a process of self-development.
Okay. Well, folks, we're speaking with Dr. Emma Marlin. Her book is Out of Your Comfort Zone, Breaking Boundaries for a Life Beyond Limits. You can check her out at her website, and that is outofyourcomfortzone.uk. Again, it's outofyourcomfortzone.uk. And folks, a lot of self-help books are out there, and it's all about, you got to figure out this graph and fill in this chart and, do all kinds of what I consider crazy things. This book is not like that. It's truly an easy read. It's written in layperson's terms where you can actually understand and allow the information to sink into your psyche, if you will, while you're reading the book and while you're going through the various exercises. And they're not a lot of exercises. She's just presenting to you common sense ways for you to better yourself, and I absolutely love it. Dr. M, why is change so difficult for people?
Well, actually, change is one of the most feared things a lot of people have. And again, that's a really good question. It's daunting, and I guess a lot of people fear the unknown, or what they think the unknown is, more to the point. So it really stops people from making those steps and stepping out of the comfort zone. But the minute they decide to change, even make the smallest changes, the world around them begins to change. And, you know, that again is about how the book starts, really, in terms of making those incremental steps and things you can do to become more confident, more resilient, and build that up. And then once you do that, you then take bigger steps and more change, and you're completely guided the whole way through to do that until you get to the end of the book after doing, you know, the self-discovery model, which again helps with the self-awareness we were just talking about. Once you have then sussed who you really want to be, and you've removed all those anxieties, limitations, and holdbacks, then the world is literally your oyster. You can choose exactly who you want to be, everything you want in life, and then it takes you through into the quantum of how you can actually create your own future and make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need to truly just let go of this New Age fear that we've all kind of gathered because we're just alive and, you know, working within the world, and come back to ourselves, get to know ourselves a bit better. That helps?
Absolutely, yeah. I think with the New Age fear, it is all about focus, because we can get so sucked into it. I mean, you know, if you go on, so, I don't know, take a social media platform like LinkedIn, you know, everybody does everything and are so amazing at it and this, that, and the other. And we all get lulled into this false reality that we're not good enough. And that becomes then, you know, is manifested as that fear deep down. And I think a lot of people will relate to this. I mean, if you even take Twitter, you can buy likes, you can sponsor things. And, you know, not everybody knows that. So then they think, well, how come that person's got so many likes and is so popular and I'm not? What am I doing wrong? You've got issues of, you know, ghosting, where people are just completely ignored. That's not a brilliant confidence builder. You know, and all this information about of different issues, and obviously media manipulation is a big one as well in terms of scaremongering with things. It's quite easy at the moment that women could start fearing men with all the stories that have been going about. And yes, there are lots of stories where things are wrong and men have done wrong things, but one of the greatest threats we have at the moment is actually overgeneralization. So this again starts breeding more fear. And if we all focus on that so much with everything going on, then it becomes what we're consumed in, and we're giving that energy, and we start attracting more of it, more fear builds up, and so forth. And that's just what I talk about, is a very small proportion of the book, and that's just background fear. Really, the main fears that we're talking about are those that are subjective, and those that are buried deep within and that are personal to us, the ones that need lifting, even anxiety that goes deep-rooted. And there's so many reasons for anxiety, but they can all be sorted out, whether they're psychological, physical, due to background triggers, physical triggers, you know. But metaphysically, if we look at anxiety, it's actually a good sign in that our brains are functioning well, because they're alerting us to the fact that something's actually wrong, something's not quite right, and it needs addressing. I say, whether that's external, whether that's physical, psychological, whatever, our minds are alerting us to something not being quite right. You know, it's very important that we do look at the real triggers for fear.
Mm-hmm. So what in your mind would be an irrational fear? Is my fear of birds an irrational fear? And you can say well, so if it is. I'm okay.
I don't want to turn you vegan, Monique, by the end of the conversation. No, anything I would say to people is, how is it a problem in terms of, you know, are you unable to go outside, you know, because there's a bird on your lawn outside? Is it that bad, or is it, or is it more a dislike of birds? Or, I mean, if you eat them,
yeah, just chicken. We don't bother with the other ones.
Well, chicken's a good food, or turkey, more. But I would say it's an irrational fear if it's stopping, you know, going to parks or sitting on the beach because you fear a seagull coming to you, or, you know, something. Or is it more of just a dislike of birds? Either way, but real irrational fears, we're talking about tangible fears. So, for example, I used to have a real serious irrational fear of heights, in that I built the Eiffel Tower with friends. When I was at university, I missed out on so many lectures because they were at the top of a tower building, a skyscraper building, and I just froze on the stairs. So that was affecting my life. And then I had a training course when I was in the Emirates, and they're usually on the first floor of buildings and in colleges and things. And one particular one, I didn't actually know where I was supposed to be doing the training. It's all very last minute. And lo and behold, it was on the top floor of a skyscraper. So I couldn't actually get my colleague to take the training instead. So I literally had to face my fear then, because I... And the only reason I could actually do that is because I had to focus on a purpose that was far greater than me and my fear. Because if I didn't do the training, there would be so many implications, and serious ones as well, that I just had to go and do it. But earlier in life, it was a serious irrational fear because it was affecting my life and it was holding me back because I wasn't doing certain things or enjoying certain things in life that I should, because of this particular fear.
Okay.
So that was considered tangible irrational fear, but the most serious ones, I would say, are the intangible ones. So fear of change, because you're scared to go out there and do other things. Some people have a fear of death, which actually have many implications. So really anything that affects your life and really holds you back from moving forward is an irrational fear.
Okay. Now, to help us get past all of this, one of the things that you talk about is breath work. Explain to us what you mean by breath work and give us one example, please.
Sure. Well, I think every day in life we don't actually take the time to breathe properly and take in enough oxygen. And oxygen is one of the key elements in actually staying healthy, because it gives life to the cells and helps every cell in the body to function properly. So this can be part of a meditation as well, and it just helps to calm us down and prevent panic attacks, which are also very prevalent in today's society with all the anxiety about. And it just helps to rationalize again and help oxygenate the brain so we can think more clearly. Then an example of this would be ocean breath, which is a great calming one. So you would take a deep breath in through your nose for say 3 seconds or till you can fill up your lungs entirely, and then exhale very powerfully out through your mouth, and you do that several times. And then just slow it down when it goes out of your mouth. So your mouth is slightly closed. So you're breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth, but it becomes like the rolling sound of the ocean. That just helps to oxygenate the body and calm us down. So it starts to get a nice rhythm of the breathing. And then we have another one which is called fire breath, and that's literally sniffing through your nose for several moments. And that actually gives us energy. So it's kind of just like a sniffing noise. So I'll give a quick demonstration. It's just like...
Okay.
You just do that, and that starts giving you energy. But as you're doing that, if you can actually imagine like a yellow glow going around the perimeter of your body, that's usually about the right amount of time to do that. So you just start with taking in a big deep breath, and then just breathe in and out very fastly through your nose, and you use your abdomen as a pump as you're doing that, and then some great visualization, you know, the yellow glow of energy around the perimeter of the body. And that just is a very quick, you know, you could do the ocean breath and the fire breath in about 5 minutes, and it's just a very quick way to calm you down, but also give you that energy that you might need as a boost as well.
Okay. Both of those, when I was doing the ocean breath, I immediately like heard the sound of the ocean coming out of me, and I was like, oh, well, this is a great replacement for going to the beach, at least for when you can't get there. And then the fire breath, it definitely did energize. So folks, practice. If you practice that, it will make a difference in your life. Now, Dr. M, another concept that you have in your book is words, and you call them negative words and power words. What's a negative word, and why do we need to release it? And explain to us about the power words and why it's important to embrace them.
Exactly. Well, some of them are basically the opposites, and I think we can use negative words, you know, far too easily in today's society, and we do need to replace them and think about language, because the language we use has a big effect on, you know, how we actually feel inside and what we're projecting out to the world. Mm-hmm. So an example of a negative tude word would be problems, and instead of problems, a replacement positive word would be challenges or opportunity. So wherever there is problems or disaster, there's often opportunities, and if we see them more as challenges rather than problems, then it can actually change our neurology to actually think of them as, they are actually something we can get over, because a problem sounds more restricting and difficult to overcome. The word problem, I don't know, to me sounds like it's difficult and something bad. Whereas if you say, I have a challenge, it actually implies it's something that you can get over. And then, as I say, with a disaster, there's often opportunities depending on where you put your focus on what you attract. A simple example would be saying, I can't. Well, if you say instead, I can if, you know, if you do something. So again, it's helping you to think your way around it. It's become a problem solver rather than a problem creator. So we have life's a struggle, whereas we could have instead life's an adventure. It's awful would be a negative word, whereas you could say I can learn from it, or I can focus on helping. Let me think of some others. People say, especially in Britain, it costs too much, whereas instead of it's actually an investment and it has value. What value does it have for you personally? And how can you actually get value for it? And things like, I need control. Well, if you can say, I can trust and I can let go, it starts you actually thinking differently instead. So we're talking about things like that, really. So language is so imperative when it comes to what we're actually thinking inside our minds, a little bit like our physiology. So you don't tend to see really happy people walking down the street that are, you know, depressed with their shoulders slumped, if they're extremely happy and enjoying life. So our thoughts really are reflected in the language we use and how we actually hold ourselves. So if you're a confident person, you know, you have head up, shoulders back. Whereas if you're depressed and you're not happy with life and you're fearful, you don't tend to have your shoulders back and head up. You know, it really does indicate how what we think affects our physiology and the language that we use. So it's important to actually start with changing how we look and changing the words that we use, because then eventually we'll work the opposite way, and that will help improve our thinking as well.
Okay. Let me say that again, I missed it.
I said, and obviously it's a cycle, you know, one affects the other, the mind affects the body, and the body affects the mind.
Yeah, but once you get them going, I mean, you can affect, you know, a lot of wonderful changes that, excuse me, can be a bit easy. Now, you also talk about embracing our mistakes and losing our inhibitions. And one thing you talk about in the book, which I do all the time, and that is put on the music, crank it up, take off all my clothes and dance around the house. Now, I keep my curtains open all the time, like all the time. So my neighbors sometimes look in, and if they see, they see. But I'm not putting on a show for them. I'm just being me. But it's so freeing, I feel. So talk to me about that.
Well, first of all, I'm glad I'm not the only one, Monique.
Oh,
I'm sure my neighbors get it often. But it is a lot of people have inhibitions, and they're what really hold them back. You know, even professionally speaking, you know, I've noticed on professional emails, it's almost as if people don't actually have a conversation or let themselves go, because I'm quite personally a very personable person and I like to engage with people. But a lot of the time I find when I do that, even professionally speaking on an email that needs to be sent, and I'm talking, not talking about anything excessive, but you know, just passing time of day, people tend to be very reserved, and it's almost as if they have a guard up and don't actually let themselves go. And again, that's a very simple example, but inhibitions come in all kinds of forms, and generally it pertains back to confidence and people having fears that, you know, if they do let themselves go, what might come out or what might happen. Mm-hmm. But that's the question they need to ask themselves, because generally, nothing. Have you been arrested for dancing around the house naked?
Well, you know, we each have to, I don't know, find our own bliss and do what works for us. And I guess fortunately, or maybe unfortunately, I refuse to be boxed in. And I think that was a lot of my issues with growing up and, you know, working in the corporate world and all, because I just didn't fit into that box. And once I started out being me, whoever I am on any given day, I was happier with me and life became happier with me. And I, when I work with clients, I impart that same information to them, show them how they can be happy with being themselves as opposed to what society believes that you should be. And that brings me right to a part in your book that you talk about having a great belief system. Is it important that we buy into what societal norms are and what people say about us?
Absolutely not. As you've just put that perfectly, you know, all the time in society we try to be put into a certain box, and it also comes down to certain values levels as well as of what people think you should be, and it comes back to judgment. And again, that can be part of an inhibition. You know, people are scared that they'll be judged in a certain way or perceived in a certain way, but really that's just somebody else's thoughts, and that's judged on their values. But as you said, once people become themselves and they lose their inhibitions and that fear really of actually being who they want to be, then that's when life really does begin. It's that stepping out of your comfort zone, and losing your inhibitions is one of the 25 markers of a zone zero personality, because to get more forward in life and get those things that you really want, you have to lose your inhibitions and not really care. And sometimes people have and one of the other intangible fears is a fear of failure, and that's a really key one in terms of preventing people doing what they want to do. So if they lose their inhibitions of fearing failure, then, you know, how many more things can they do? And so what? I don't personally believe in failure, because if you've tried something, you've put yourself out there and you've had a go, so what? You know, if you don't achieve it the first time, just try it again. But certainly having a belief system, and an unshakable belief system, is one of the keys that I cannot drive home hard enough in terms of one of the markers of the Zone Zero personality, because that's what determines everything. And this is what I was talking about in terms of President Trump, is his belief system, because he'd have thought he could become president, but he must have believed that so strongly he actually is, against what you would think would be all the odds. But really does, I don't know if you've heard of a gentleman called Maurice Goodman.
No.
He's actually he's from Texas, and he had an incredibly bad accident when he was flying his plane. He was actually lucky to survive it, but when he was rescued, he was diagnosed paralyzed, and he was paralyzed for quite some time from the neck down, told he would never walk again, and, you know, complete paraplegic, and, you know, all the rest that you were told. And he believed, deep down in his belief system, that there was no way this was going to happen. He couldn't even communicate at the time, other than blinking. And he actually blinked to the doctors that he would be out of the hospital by Christmas, which was an incredibly short period that he'd been in hospital. And down to his belief system, and voices, you know, telling him in his head to breathe deeply, and, you know, all the work he was doing in his mind, literally visualizing himself so strongly and so specifically to actually get well. He did walk out of the hospital by Christmas, and, you know,
wow.
That's just phenomenal in terms of what that man managed to do, and that is a Zone Zero personality in terms of a total unshakable belief system. Because if you have that, everything will just drive you forward to really get to where you want to be. And the book guides you through, say, from very simple common sense things to entering into the quantum physics world of, you know, getting exactly what you want to do and how to do that, how to go about that perfectly possible. And that's really what's so exciting about the work we both do. As you'll know yourself, you know, what you'll have seen from clients as well. Once people take those steps to lose their inhibitions and get out there and break out of the comfort zone and break those boundaries, the results are truly phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I can't let you go without covering this one section of the book, and it's all about intuition. And you not only talk about increasing your intuition in the book, you also have an intuition indicator test, if you will, where you take the test and you know, come up with your scores. And with that, I scored a 59 out of, I believe, 60. I'm not sure. So why is it important to pay attention to your intuition, to develop that intuition, to trust yourself?
Again, intuition comes from our deep down gut instinct, and that's something innate within all of us. It's like an internal guidance system. It's already there for us. It's part of the unconscious mind, the part of the mind that controls the body on autopilot, that does a wonderful job. And, you know, consciously we only are believed to use about 10% of the brain consciously, what we use day to day. But the rest of the 90%, that's what we're talking about in terms of intuition. And it's just amazing what we can do when we have that. It's almost like the psychic ability to guide us and to help us know we're making the right decisions. And it's also, the more intuitive you are, the more you are likely to be confident in your decision making. And it's interesting how people that are really successful in business, so let's take Richard Branson again, he's believed to be extremely intuitive and very high up there with, I would imagine, a similar score to yourself. You know, and that helps him in business, because he goes on his gut instinct, is something right or not. And if you can trust that and trust your decision making, then you can trust in the process of life. And that's the key, being able to do that. And once you can do that, you'll also lose a lot of anxiety as well, because you'll be able to detect what's ahead, what's right, just going on your feelings. And again, that's helping to develop a good, very good, strong self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all going and building up the picture now, when you have all these things in place, and understanding what you really want, you know, in terms of your deep core blueprint, what you can then go on and do when you put certain techniques and procedures that I talk about in place to literally map out your future. When we say it's written in the stars, it actually is, in terms of, if you've got something in your deep core belief system and you're very intuitive about the decisions you make, they feel right and you can trust that instinct, then you can map out exactly what you want and determine your future the way you want it to go.
Okay. Now, folks, in the book, she also, and we're not going to cover it here because I want you to go out and get the book, she also covers the 7 principles to achieving successful results. And, you know, the first step is to make a decision and do it, okay? So you don't always, it doesn't always come out the way you want it to, maybe the first time or the 10th time, but if you persevere, as Dr. M has said throughout our podcast today, you will affect a positive change in your life. Now, Dr. M, when we go to outofyourcomfortzone.uk, what are we going to find there?
Well, you'll find an absolute rundown of what the book's about, how it takes you through the steps, but also there's the opportunity to take the Zone test there for free. When you go on the homepage, you'll see that straight away.
Okay.
Also a little bit about me, and there's also all the links to my clinical practice, to my personal website, to Mind Body Diabetes, you know, so everything that you would possibly need in terms of resources, and as I say, taking the Zone test as well, and links to buy the book, it's all there, all in one place.
Okay, so folks, there you have it. You can go to outofyourcomfortzone.uk and buy the book. You can learn more about Dr. M. Now, Dr. M, are you working with people all over the world or just there in the UK?
No, I work with people all over the world. I actually train in the United Arab Emirates, so I do some practice work over there. But generally, I have some clients in the US and we work on Skype.
Mm-hmm.
I've not been asked to fly over just yet. But yeah, I have a practice in London on Harley Street. So I do actually have a client from the US that has flown over to see me. They're welcome to pay my expenses to travel over to sunny Florida, then that's fine. yeah, otherwise it's in the UK.
Okay. Okay, well, you never know. You know, she put it out there, folks, so let's help her manifest it. She wants to go to sunny, nice and warm Florida, preferably a beach town. So, Dr. M, yes, Dr. M, thank you for being with me today as we collectively get over it. And to the audience, I thank you for also joining us and hanging in and taking advantage of this wonderful information that you received. The divine in me honors the divine in you. And folks, if you're looking for a more balanced life, intuitive consultations that I offer that are 30 minutes or longer are offered at a 10% discount. Love yourself to make an investment in yourself and make that call. 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of getting out of your comfort zone. Okay. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.